Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Complete Works. My name is Doug Hess, and I'm your host. If you're tuning in to The Complete Works for the first time, we'd like to welcome you. A little bit about what we do here on this podcast is we're going to each week discuss a particular movie from a film actor, actress, director, or composer's film history. Currently, we're working our way through Nicolas Cage's films, and in this episode of The Complete Works, I'm going to be discussing The Kill Chain, starring Nicolas Cage. If you'd like to find out more information about The Complete Works podcast, you can go to film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com. By using the search term, The Complete Works, you can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com. The Complete Works, in the subject line, you can also add Kill Chain if you like, so we know it's this particular episode. And if you like what you hear of this podcast, please hit the subscription button so every time there's a new podcast available, it can go directly to your phone or wherever you listen to your podcast with. So again, welcome aboard. We're going to be talking about Kill Chain in this episode of The Complete Works, starring Nicolas Cage. And as we do each and every week, we like to start off with a little bit of trivia before we jump into the movie, talk a little bit about the cast, box office success or lack of in some cases. We'll do a quick review of the movie and then synopsis of the movie, and then I'll be giving you my thoughts on the film Kill Chain. So let's start off like we do every week in trivia with Nicolas Cage. In this particular movie, he wanted a mustache instead of a beard in the movie. So if you have seen the movie or if you're getting ready to watch the movie, try to envision Nicolas Cage with a mustache instead of a beard. I was trying to do that throughout the film, and I think I liked the beard better. So anyways, I digress. This is the seventh collaboration between Nicolas Cage and Millennium Films. This is the second Nicolas Cage movie to be shot in Colombia in 2018. The first was Running with the Devil. This is also the seventh Nicolas Cage film in which he played a character named John. And this was really advertised in the vein of the greatest Detective Norris films. Like I said, this film runs approximately 91 minutes in length. And I could not find a budget of what it estimated cost to make the film, but it only grossed worldwide about $12,787. I was able to watch it on Amazon Prime. That's how I watched the film Kill Chain, starring, you know, like I said, Nicolas Cage. It was written and directed by Ken Sanzel, S-A-N-Z-E-L. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that name correctly. Ken Sanzel both directed and wrote the movie or the screenplay. Like I said, it's starring Nicolas Cage. He plays I hope I'm pronouncing this right. It's A-R-A-N-A, Arena, and that's Spanish for spider. And please forgive me, my Spanish is not very good. Annabelle Acosta is the woman in red in the film. We also had Angie Sapita. She plays the very bad woman. We also had John Mack, Gigi's friend. We had Aronka. Call it Nata. He plays the old sniper in the movie. So I apologize with some of these names, but a little bit of the cast that was in the film. Like I said, Nicolas Cage is by far the heavyweight in the film. But interesting enough, he is not in the film very much, and I'll get into that detail here in just a few minutes. So let's give you a kind of a storyline of this movie, The Kill Chain, starring Nicolas Cage. So it's a hotel room shootout between two assassins, kicks off a long night of bodies falling like dominoes all over the place, as we follow a chain of crooked cops, gangsters, hitmen, and an ex-mercenary through a series of murder, betrayal, revenge, and redemption. So that is kind of the basis or the storyline of The Kill Chain, starring Nicolas Cage. So let's jump in and talk a little bit about this film. So like I said, that's the storyline. So that's the premise of the story that we're going to be talking about, The Kill Chain. And so how does the movie start? Well, let's put it this way. In a lot of ways, this was a very typical movie of assassins and betrayal and revenge. So it begins with a really a muddy or a moody, I guess we could say, a moody and a muddy plot. And what I mean by that is a little muddy. It was kind of hard to kind of follow. And the mood was kind of dark, if I can say it that way. So it starts with an industrial zone situation in an unnamed Latin American location. As we know, it was filmed in Colombia, but it doesn't say that in the film. It's something that obviously I did with, through my research. So we have two tough guys in leather jackets. They exit a car and they go around and kind of look around before they enter the rundown Hotel Franco, which appears to be empty. And so, but by surprise, a blood spattered, half-dressed woman holding a pistol appears down at the reception desk where the tough guys are lingering. Nicolas Cage's character, Arena, which is, like I said, Spanish for spider. So I'm just going to say spider from here on out. Comes around from the back of the building, checks his revolver. Spider then approaches the tough guys who are at the counter in a all shucks type of entrance as a hotel clerk in terms of that. So naturally, the tough guys are on to the spider. They confiscate his weapons. Spider mentions that they took a long time circling around the block and such. The tough guys retort, saying they needed to check his photo first to confirm that they had the right man at the time of entering the building in terms of that. And of course, Spider wants to tell the two murderous thugs who have come to end him a lovely story about Franco and how Spider came to take over the namesake of the hotel, Franco. When Spider and these two tough guys are sitting at the bar, it should be mentioned that there is a dead body at the bar slumped over a table, but never mind that. Nobody seems to think anything about it. It's like it's natural that somebody's just slugged over a table dead. At first, I guess you could say that, or you could think that maybe the individual was drunk, but it's pretty obvious pretty quickly into the movie that he is not drunk, but is in fact dead. So, but yeah, like I said, never mind that. Dead body is just hanging around, slumped over the table. There's actually a gun next to him as well. If this isn't a tip off to the bad guys that something's about to go a little crazy or awry, then nothing's going to be able to foreshadow or tell the events that's going to happen in this movie. But nevertheless, moving along, like I said, there's a dead body there. So Spider is telling the thugs how he basically came to get this hotel. What ensures is then is a series of unfortunate events without really any rhythm or rhyme, which begins with a middle-aged sniper who's an American, and also there's an American prostitute that basically some questions are asked. How does she get down to Colombia, which never really gets answered at all throughout the movie. In terms of that. But again, side note in terms of that. So then we find this mysterious woman in red who arrives at the hotel unannounced. Maybe she's a prostitute. I don't know. The movie really never clears that up. There's some indications that she may be. There's some indications that she might not be. But anyways, another mysterious woman arrives at the hotel unannounced as well. And another younger and meaner sniper arrives as well. And then we start to have flashbacks to the time where Spider and Franco were ordered to burn a van that had trafficked teenage girls alive in it. And the more flashbacks as what happens to the girls who Franco eventually adopts one of the girls as his daughter, and Spider also helps bring her up from a young girl to a much older lady, or a younger lady, I should say, in terms of that. When I was talking about the beginning of this episode of The Kill Chain, I had told you that Nicolas Cage was really missing what appeared to be about, I had timed it at approximately about 30 minutes. I did some additional research and I found out that it was more like 40 minutes. So about 40 minutes in this 91-minute film, Nicolas Cage is nowhere to be found and he's not even a part of the story. So at the end, there's an attempt to basically wrap this story up, and that's when we pile a bunch of stuff along the finish line, which I thought at times was overreaching when it comes to trying to bind of a secret criminal organization with government connections. Typically, these movies are these type of organizations are called The Organization. And that's what they are called in this movie as well. It's the organization then puts into motion a series of seemingly unconnected events and sparks, you guess it, a crazy kill chain, one that can only be stopped by the violent eyes and hands of Spider himself. And that's really kind of how the movie ends. I thought this movie was pretty dark. I also thought, and a lot of times this movie was very hard to follow. It was very hard to understand, and not everything in the film I thought made sense. And so at times, I'm not going to lie that I really thought that this film was hard to review, and really get a good understanding of what the movie was about. Now, I will say when in terms of Nicolas Cage's performance, I thought it was a decent performance. I don't think it was by any stretch of the imagination his best performance, but I also would say that it wasn't really his worst performance either when he was portraying Spider. He was kind of mellow, Nicolas Cage. Unlike some films that I've seen him in where he's just kind of that wild-eyed and crazy individual, I didn't get that at all in this sense or in this movie. I thought that this plot was simple. It had a good pace, had some decent action in it. I thought some of the actions peaked at the right time. And like I said, the acting was solid. It wasn't crazy. It wasn't cheesy by any stretch of the imagination. But it was also predictable. I thought it was something that was really tough to follow at times. It wasn't the best script. It wasn't the best movie I'd ever seen Nicolas Cage in. But it wasn't horrible either. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being terrible, 10 being the best, I would end up giving this probably a 4 is really what I would say. The reason I would give this a 4 and nothing any higher is, even though I thought Nicolas Cage had a pretty solid performance in here, what really brought it down for me was the plot. It was hard to follow at times. The action was good, and like I said, it peaked at the right time. But to me, a lot of it was, it was really hard to understand. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with the viewers, I ended up viewing this movie twice just so I could make sure I understood it. And I'll be honest with you, even after the second time, I still don't feel like I've totally or fully understood what this movie was about. So that's why I'm going to give a 4 instead of anything higher, even though I felt like the acting was pretty solid in this. So a 4 out of 10 on this. And like I said, it wasn't because Nicolas Cage was terrible in it, just the opposite. I thought he did actually a pretty fine job in this film. What the problem was the script itself. It wasn't as heavy as I thought it should have been or could have been on that. So I'd like to thank you for listening to this episode of The Complete Works. You can find more of the work on film-book.com. Again, that's film-book.com. You can just search Doug Hess or The Complete Works. You can also find me at Twitter at HessDoug14. Again, HessDoug14. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on the YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. And we'd ask you to tune in next time when